Right. Let's get to our prophecy update. If you're able to stay, we'd certainly encourage you to do so. Maybe another 20, 30 minutes-ish. Heavy on the ish. If you need to leave, have a blessed week in the Lord. So today's update is one that will require a preface of sorts in the sense that I'm keenly aware of how it might be perceived as sensational, and I'll explain why I say that. The Holy Spirit has directed me to talk about just how quickly and suddenly everything as we know it can change. And I'm not basing that chiefly on a sense or a feeling. Rather, I'm basing it on scriptures specific to the Lord's return coming quickly, suddenly, and even unexpectedly. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 42 through 44. He says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." What is Jesus saying here? What Jesus is saying here is we're to keep watching and keep expecting his return, especially, and listen very carefully, especially when it seems like, hey, everything's good. It's business as usual. Things just kind of go on as they always have. You know what's striking to me? And I've noticed this as of late. There's this tendency towards apathy and complacency, especially on the part of Christians, and certainly the church. And please, again, don't misunderstand me. I don't want to just stand up here and rant and rave and beat up the church and beat up Christians. It's just that it seems as I get out and about, which isn't very often, by the way, I always jokingly say when I'm out and about, I don't get out much, and it's like, ha ha ha. No, that's not a saying. I actually don't get out much. I'm usually stuck in my office, and I'm studying and preparing and praying and working. And but when I'm out and about, I just see this sense that people think everything is just going to continue as it has. There's no sense of urgency. I mean, people are going about their business, buying and selling, building and planting, marrying and giving in marriage, as it was in the days of Noah, oblivious to what's coming. I mentioned this, actually, I should be honest and say I complained about this last week, you know, when Pastors complain, except we don't call it complaining. We call it lamenting. It's more pastoral. Yeah. I was lamenting about how that our news feeds are just blanketed with the 2020 elections already, and we're a year and a half away, and I'm thinking to myself, how can you be so sure that you're even going to be here in a year and a half? How can you even be so sure you're going to be here in a day and a half? Be very careful, James says, when you say we're going to go into such and such a city and do business there and buy and sell there and do this and that. You should say, Lord willing. And the reason why is because your life is a vapor and tomorrow's not guaranteed. But it's like, bear with me. Maybe I just need to vent my spleen a little bit here. I don't know. But it's like people just are acting like, hey, happy days are here again. I mean, and don't get me wrong, they're making plans. Hey, in 10 years. Here's my 15-year plan. I'm thinking, 15 years? Now, listen, nothing wrong with having plans. Just hold on loosely to them. And don't let those plans have you. Nothing wrong. The horse is made ready for battle. But the Lord determines the outcome. Hold on loosely to that which is not guaranteed. Namely, tomorrow. But there's like this expectancy that, hey, it's just going to be like this all the time. And there's no sense of urgency, this on the eve of the very night the thief comes. That's why. And again, I know I run the risk of sounding sensational, but one need look no further than to what is happening in the world today to realize that the rapture is imminent. What do I mean by imminent? I love how one explained it, like it sounds. The rapture is imminent. The rapture can happen at any minute. Let me do that again, because that was a little quick, you know, first service, a little early. Imminent. It can happen at any minute. Suddenly. Quickly. Will you just kind of hear me out as I share with you why it is that I truly believe that we are on the eve of the thief coming in the night, as a thief in the night, to snatch away his bride. We're told specifically in the Bible, very, very specifically in some cases, what's going to happen at the time of the end. We're told what's going to happen before it happens, so when it happens and begins to happen, will take notice, and that there will be this sense of urgency, in particular what happens in the Middle East, namely Israel, specifically Jerusalem, and the area today we know as the Middle East. I want to begin with this Israel Hayom report about Israeli strikes on military targets in Syria for the second straight day. According to Syrian media, the Israeli strike targeted the T-4 airbase in the central province of Homs, long used by Iranian forces in Syria, just before midnight Sunday. This is last Sunday, June 2nd. Israel has acknowledged carrying out dozens of airstrikes in Syria against Iranian targets and Tehran's allies over the past months. Now, what if I told you that the Bible with specificity says it's all going to go down in Syria and they're going to come down from Syria and attack Israel? For those of you who are well-versed with Bible prophecy, you know I'm speaking of two specific prophecies in Isaiah 17 and Ezekiel 38. And I say that to say this. It's happening exactly as we were told it would, which is why I truly believe we are on the eve of the rapture. It's that close. It's important to understand that these strikes are preemptive by virtue of Iran's weapon capabilities. On Tuesday, the Jerusalem Post published a report about how the German intelligence agency is confirming Iran's purchase of missile technology to manufacture, listen, nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons of mass destruction. Now, what if I told you that in Zechariah 12, we have the description very specifically in that prophecy that describes a nuclear attack? Zechariah 14. What if I told you that in Ezekiel 38, it is describing a nuclear attack? What if I told you that even in the book of Revelation, it is describing prophetically, yet future, these weapons of mass destruction that will wipe out a large population of planet Earth? It's happening exactly as we're told. According to this Arut Sheva report, get this. Iran is only 6 months away from an atomic bomb. And a former IAEA official says Israel and the Gulf states need to be worried about Iran's emerging nuclear capabilities. Well, thankfully, the Iranian threat is being taken seriously. On Thursday, Al Arabiya quoted a top U.S. commander in the Gulf region as saying that the Iran threat is very real. Make no mistake about it, Israel, to their credit, and rightfully so, is also taking the threat of an Iranian attack very seriously as well. I want you to listen to this Jerusalem Post report where they quote a senior Israel Navy officer. Listen to what he said, and I want to emphasize and highlight and underscore some of this. He says, quote, "We are ready for any Iranian proxy attack." With tensions still high, Navy commanders are, listen, still quoting, ready for anything, anywhere. Wow. You'll forgive me for the bluntness with which I ask these two questions. But the first question is, do I take this seriously? Is there an urgency? Here's the second question. Am I ready? Am I ready for the Lord's return at any time? Have you ever heard the question asked? I've probably asked it myself on occasion from the pulpit. But if you knew without any doubt that for a certainty Jesus Christ would rapture his church this afternoon, oh, wouldn't that be great? What would you do differently? Oh my, no, for real? Yeah. Oh my goodness, I would call Auntie so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so, and I would just, man, this afternoon, yeah. Well, why aren't you doing it now? What do you mean? Well, because the Lord could come this afternoon. Oh, come on. You don't really expect that he's going to come back this afternoon. Well, wait a minute. Didn't we just hear Jesus say in Matthew's gospel that he would come at an hour that we expect not? So in other words, if we're honest with ourselves, we would say, I don't really expect him to come back between the hour of 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Jesus said, oh, really? You don't expect me to come at that hour? That's the hour I'm going to come. How about that? The purpose of these weekly prophecy updates is for non-believers to get right with the Lord while there's still time, and for believers to get ready for the Lord who could come at any time. Any minute. Pastor, do you really believe that? Absolutely. With everything in my being. I can stand before you today and say, I have no unfinished business. There's nobody left for me to call. I've called everyone. If the Lord comes at 2 o'clock this afternoon, which, by the way, I'm going to pray that he does. I'm not a false prophet if he doesn't. I'm just saying. But if the Lord were to come back at 2 o'clock this afternoon, whoo-hoo! Yes! I'm ready. I've been ready. And I'll continue to be ready if it's today, as I would be ready if it's not 10 years from today. Oh, Pastor, you're contradicting yourself about having plans. Do you have plans? You better believe I have plans, because you know why? And we're going to talk about this maybe when the Lord presents the opportunity. But we're to occupy till he comes. You know this beautiful property that he's given us? I mean, it's a miracle again in every sense of the word. That's not hyperbole. It was a miracle that we got this property and this building and renovated this building. You know, it's 3.1 acres. Have you noticed that we're clearing out lot one after Mike's Hooli Hooli Chicken moved out? And we're going to make more parking there. The Lord gave us everything from the water over here to the 7-Eleven. That's 3.1 acres, to be exact. And to whom much has been given, much is required. And as for me and my church, I want to be found faithful when the Lord returns, so he can say to us, good job. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Busy about the things of God right up until the moment the trumpet sounds. That's the kind of ready I want to be. And I would venture to say that's the kind of ready you want to be as well. And that's why every week, week in and week out, we do these prophecy updates. It's to sound the alarm as a watchman on the wall. Hey, warning! Warning! Sorry, I'm yelling. I get a lot of complaints, particularly from our online members, that say you blew out another set of speakers. Send the invoice, we'll reimburse you. So very sorry about that. And, the new complaint we're getting, you ready for this? This is just within the last couple of weeks. So when I look down, because I'm balding here. No, for real. And so like there's this, I had one comment say, you know, my this is where my brain is, how small my brain is right here. See these lines? See, they look like devil horns. Really? But so like there's this reflection. I'm going somewhere with this. Just bear with me. There's this reflection that comes off of my forehead. And here's my story, and I'm sticking with it. It's the afterglow, like Moses in the presence of the Lord. Oh, yeah, see, thank you. Oh, you just bless and warm my heart. So there. Okay, where were we? We were somewhere here in this prophecy update. I suppose it would be appropriate to ask the question, not rhetorically, are you ready? Do you take this seriously? Is there a sense of urgency? If the Lord were to come, would it be for you as a thief in the night, unexpected? Or are you ready, waiting? Man, if that thief comes tonight, watch me now. Maybe it's not a question of being ready for the Lord. Maybe for someone here or watching online, it's a question of being right with the Lord. And that's another reason why we do these prophecy updates and share the gospel of Jesus Christ at the end of these prophecy updates. The good news of salvation found in the person and finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. What is the gospel? The gospel, the word gospel basically means good news. Your debt has been paid. Your penalty has been paid. You're free to go. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. All the charges are dropped on you because somebody else has taken your place. That someone else is Jesus the Christ, who came and was crucified and was buried and rose again on the third day. And, good news, he's coming back one day. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Now, in so doing, he paid in full with his blood shed in our stead for all of our sins, and he paid for it, but he offers it to us as a free gift, the free gift of eternal life. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, we are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast as if somehow we earned it. We paid for it. No, it's a gift that's received. If you pay for a gift, it's no longer a gift, right? So what are we going to do now with this offer that is given to us, this free gift that is offered us, this free gift of eternal life? Well, it's ABC simple. It's what's known as the ABCs of salvation, which we also do on a weekly basis, because it is a childlike, simple explanation of how to be saved. It's not complicated, and I'm so thankful that it's not complicated, because 37 years ago, if it were complicated, I don't know that I would have been able to get saved. I don't mean to insult anybody's intelligence with the ABCs of salvation, but it is childlike simple. The A is for admit or acknowledge that you've sinned and that you need the Savior. The Savior. This is what repentance is. In the sense that the word repent means to do a 180, an about face, change. You've had a change of mind concerning your sin before a righteous and holy God. And you do a 180. You turn from your sin to the Savior. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23 says, all have fallen short, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's kind of interesting. We talked about this once. Just bear with me for a second. But the word sin is actually an archery term. So in that day, if you were an archer and you shot your arrow and missed the bullseye, fell short of the bullseye, they would say to you, you sinned. You sinner. Because you missed the bullseye. You fell short. We all miss the bullseye. We all fall short of the bullseye of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. Now, this, if you please, packages, for lack of a better way of saying it, the bad news first with the good news. What's the bad news? Oh, the bad news is you've been sentenced to death. The death penalty. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That's the death penalty. That's bad news. But, I like this but, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He paid in full for your death penalty in your stead. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And that's the A. Here's the B. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 10:9-10. It says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. It's not tentative. The jury is not out. The verdict is in. You will be saved. Acknowledging your sin, believing in your heart, and C, lastly, confessing with your mouth. Or call upon the name of the Lord. Listen to Romans 10:9-10, what it also says. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then lastly, Romans 10:13. This is what I like to say, seals the deal. This is how I got saved over 37 years ago. All, because I'm an all, so are you all, y'all. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Is that too simple? Maybe that's the problem. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, there may not be such a thing as a free lunch, but there is such a thing as the free gift of eternal life. And that's the gospel truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God, if you sit here in this church today and you've never called upon the name of the Lord, I implore you today before you leave this church to make the most important decision you will ever make in your life for eternal life. And for those watching online, it's not an accident that you're watching this video. Wherever you may be and whenever this may be, I implore you to call upon the name of the Lord, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, acknowledging your sin, turning from your sin and turning to him, Jesus the Christ, who paid in full for all your sin. Why don't you all stand and we'll pray. Loving Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for telling us that the nations that we see today aligning themselves together would be in Syria because they're now in Syria. Thank you for telling us in your word that Israel would become very prosperous and that the whole world would have this intoxicating obsession with dividing Jerusalem under the banner of peace and security. Lord, thank you for the specificity of Bible prophecy and how when we see these things, as you said, begin to come to pass, that we as believers would look up and lift up our heads knowing our redemption draws nigh. Lord, thank you for telling us in John 14:29 that you're going to tell us in your word what's going to happen before it happens. So when it happens, we would believe that you are the I am. And so, Lord, I pray for any who don't know you, aren't right with you, and certainly because of that, not ready for you. I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.